Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Now here's a highlight from Coast to Coast AM on iHeartRadio.
Paint us a picture as if we are visually looking at the beginning. What are we seeing, let's say, after it started? Kind of paint us a picture. What would we be looking at if we were on the outside looking in?
Yeah, well, of course, a lot happened in the very first few not even split seconds. We're talking about tiny, tiny fractions of a second, you know, less than a trillionth of a second. A whole heck of a lot happened in that first instant of time. And a lot of it was invisible. So you wouldn't, even if you could, you know, be kind of outside it looking at, looking with your eyes, you wouldn't see anything because there wasn't much in the form of light coming off.
Okay.
But you can kind of use your imagination, as it were. Initially, well, we don't know about initially, but something created an explosion, if you like. Now, the Big Bang.
Would we have heard it if we could hear it?
Well, again, you know, you're talking about extreme energies here. So, if you want to talk about sound, and of course, sound has to have a medium to travel in. You know, in air, in our case,
sure,
but there wouldn't be air, but. You wouldn't really have heard anything, although you could imagine waves of something equivalent to acoustic waves, you know, being there. None of it's really within the range of human senses, so we'd have to imagine we've got super senses to see all this stuff happening. There would be a whole succession of particles emerging. Initially, there would only be one type of particle, okay, and then gradually they would split off into all the types of particles that we see today. And all of this happened very, very quickly. It all happened within a split second.
That's amazing, just trying to comprehend that alone.
I know. Before the Big Bang, which is kind of what we always think of, this explosion, this hot blast that, you know, the universe has been expanding from ever since, there was a period called inflation where the initial speck that was the universe grew in size by a phenomenal amount, at a phenomenal rate, okay?
With or without light?
Well, electromagnetic radiation was part of that. Electromagnetic radiation is comes from one of the forces, electromagnetism. There's also gravity and the weak and strong forces as well. There's four basic forces in nature. And all of these gradually split off from the one initial force. Okay, so what we call light is really, you know, that includes X-rays and radio waves, as well as the visible light spectrum. That's the electromagnetic spectrum. That's what we could see, the middle bit of that. So there would have been all of that later on. There was no electromagnetic radiation to begin with because there wasn't the electromagnetic force. There was this original force. So that came a split second later. What I'm trying to get across is that most of the action in the universe happened within the first second or so. And after that, it's as it were, history. That's when matter emerged and energy of the form that we're familiar today in the form of the Big Bang. And the Big Bang was the hot explosion that followed these earlier phases, inflation and the whatever the precondition of the universe was. So it wouldn't be visible at, or audible into the human senses, but there's a tremendous amount of energy involved. The temperatures, for example, were unbelievable, you know. Absolutely unbelievable in terms of... That's why we have these huge particle accelerators today trying to recreate the energies that existed close to the Big Bang so that we can investigate what particles were present early on in the universe.
And if we were peering in on it before anything happened, what might we be... And again, this is all speculation.
Yeah.
What would we be looking at before anything happened?
Before anything, yeah. Well, I mean, if it was before anything, there'd be nothing, obviously, by the very definition.
Well, I wonder what nothing looks like.
Well, yeah, nothing can't exist in a sense, because nothing, you know, that's the opposite of existence, isn't it? There's no thing, there's no time, there's no space, there's no matter, any that can't actually exist, because the very definition of something is that it exists. But to be a little bit less philosophical, there is another possibility, and that is that our universe is just one of many, many universes. This is the multiverse.
Right.
Theory. And all of these universes emerge like bubbles, as it were, from a foam of a quantum sea. So a sort of a primordial state region of space-time from which universes are constantly arising, and ours just happens to be one of them. And that's that sounds crazy. It sounds totally wacky science fiction, but it is actually a mainstream scientific view these days that there are actually other universes out there, and ours just happens to be one of them.
Isn't it entirely possible that we may never find out how it started?
Yes, I think it is, because what would that initial event consist of? I think we can push it back further and further, but I think we're going to have a great deal of trouble in isolating what indeed, if there was ever an initial event. I can't see that happening. I think we'll just get closer and closer to it, but perhaps never actually know.
How do physicists and astronomers and people in the know, how can they speculate on the fact that they say the universe is about 14 billion years old? How do they know that?
Well,
if they're off by 10 billion years?
Well, it's essentially rolling back the clock, so we can see that the galaxies are moving apart, okay, or at least the clusters of galaxies are moving apart today, that the entire universe is expanding. And so in a very simple-minded fashion, you can reverse that motion, and you can see that it all started about 13.8 billion years ago. You know, it's just a question of just reversing time, as it were. And we can measure the rate at which the universe is expanding quite accurately. So we can tell in the past that the galaxies and the clusters of galaxies are a lot closer together, and we can tell that 13.8 billion years ago they were all at a single point. That's when the universe emerged. So we can be actually quite specific about when the universe began. We just don't know how it began.
Now, the universe, of course, started about, let's say, then 14 billion years ago.
Yeah.
We are 4.5 billion years. There's a jump start of 9.5 billion years before we started. Before we even came into the picture, what was out there 9.5 billion years before us?
Well, other stars. I mean, some of those stars, of course, still exist today because there are stars that are much older than the sun, and there are also stars that have been born and died in that period. And of course, we now know that many stars, if not most, if not all stars, have planets around them. So there would have been planets around and stars,
and probably life.
And probably life, yes. There probably was life that pre-existed life on Earth, and perhaps even advanced life. There was time for it to emerge in that period, because there were certainly stars around for most of the life of the universe. So it would have looked perhaps a little different than it does today, because everything would be a little bit closer together, galaxies would be closer together. But essentially, if you'd gone back 5 billion years and looked out, you would have seen stars just like you do today and planets around them. And as you say, we don't know, but most likely life on some of them, yeah.
Why does it seem, David, that there's so much order in the universe? It's almost as if everything is a piece of a puzzle and it all fits.
I know. I asked myself this. And of course, what mainstream science will say is that, well, it wasn't like that to begin with. Complexity has emerged from simplicity. But there's been plenty of time for things to organize themselves. And when this gets onto, obviously, the origin of life as well, not just stars and things like that, you can kind of explain that in terms of, you know, just basic forces of gravity and that type of thing. You expect matter to clump together to form objects, and so you can kind of get away with explaining planets and stars and stuff like that. But when it comes to more complicated things like life, then you run up against it. And again, that's, of course, another question we don't know. We don't know about the origin of life. Things do tend to get more complex over time, but that has to be somehow almost written into the laws of nature that would happen. Now, there's a couple of ways you could explain that. You could go back to the divine argument and say, well, there's a controlling force on the universe that's directing it in a certain way, you know, and this obviously is the universe by design, and that would that is interesting if we happen to live in a single universe. But if the multiverse theory is correct, that means that there are billions and billions and billions, possibly infinite number of universes out there, and it's only those in which complexity and life emerges that can even ask the question, why is the universe the way it is? There are many, many sterile universes where that question could never arise. So then it doesn't become a coincidence that we happen to live in one where there is complexity in life, because it's only those kind of universes where creatures could eventually ask the question. So you can get around the design argument. You can also get around it by, just say, well, that's just the way nature is. It just happens to get more complex as time goes on.
When I was a boy, my parents got me a 3-inch refractor telescope, and of course the first thing I looked at was the moon at night, and that was a wow factor. And then I turned the telescope, David, on Jupiter and saw its 4 of its moons right around there, and that was just unbelievable. But then when I put it on Saturn and could actually see the rings of Saturn with this little telescope, it was absolutely breathtaking, and I was hooked. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, I know what you mean. And I think we sometimes lose that sense of awe. You know, when we get older, we forget to look up at the night sky, even without a telescope. You know, just looking at what we're seeing, and just realizing what we're seeing, how far away the stars are, how vast the universe is compared to our little lives here on Earth. And you get that sense of that childhood sense of wonder back again. And I think
you do.
We need to do a little bit more of that. Just look out into the universe and realize that you're part of this immensity. I think it's tremendously thrilling. It's what still excites me as a scientist. I've still got that little boy excitement inside of me.
Taking out, of course, religion out of the equation, we really can't explain life, why we're here, what we're doing here, what we're supposed to be doing. I mean, it's marvelous, but it's also perplexing. But when you add that in with the possibility of how we started, how did the universe start, life after death, the whole puzzle turns out to be one big puzzle.
Yeah. I think most scientists are honest enough to say they don't have all the answers, and perhaps they never will. I think eventually we'll kind of figure out how life gets started. We have various theories, and you can actually kind of do experiments and see how complex chemicals arise just naturally from simple ingredients. And you can kind of get like primitive cell-like structures, so you can kind of do a little bit of hand-waving and see how that progression works. But it is not what you'd expect of a universe that started as a sort of a blast of mixture of confusion of particles and energy, that after 14 billion years, we would be here asking how we got here. I think that is a mystery. And I think scientists are too quick to dismiss it. I think it is actually a fundamental question that needs resolving.
If the dinosaurs weren't blasted away by an asteroid, yeah, would we still be here?
No, I don't think so. Something would be here. But, you know, evolution is affected by these random events. Sometimes they're you know, cosmic events, in that case, obviously an asteroid collision, but there have been obviously internal events as well that have happened that have caused mass extinctions, and then new types of life have emerged. So, yes, the mammals were able to fill the spaces, the gaps left by the dinosaurs and the other large reptiles that basically dominated the land, the air, and the sea at the time. We obviously evolved from the more primitive mammals, and mammals evolved very quickly once the dinosaurs were out of the picture. So there's no question that we, definitely as human beings, wouldn't be here. There'd be some form of intelligence, perhaps, but it wouldn't be in the human form. So we are kind of accidental in that
interesting respect. See, I don't believe in coincidences. I think everything has happened for reasons. I don't even believe in luck. I think we create our own so-called luck. We do it to ourselves.
Yeah. Well, I agree with that to a certain extent. I mean, I think an asteroid collision, you could almost say, it's just one of those things. It just happens. Was it preordained that asteroid would hit the Earth at that time? I don't know. Asteroid collisions have happened throughout the history of the Earth and other planets. I mean, it's just something, there's stuff flying around out there that occasionally collides.
But as you say, without it, we probably wouldn't be here.
Yeah. So you can look at it as a kind of a chain of events. And, of course, that caused a mass extinction. Oddly enough, gave rise to a creature ourselves, which is sort of causing another mass extinction at the moment. So it kind of caused two mass extinctions in a single whammy. So small things, well, not a small thing it is, but a single event can have tremendous repercussions down the road.
Listen to more Coast to Coast AM every weeknight at 1 a.m. Eastern, and go to coasttocoastam.com for more.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal, or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.